I'm so coming to life. Think I got a real bad coup. I need to get out of the house instead of doing what you tell me to. I caught the COVID cooties. Now my life is like a movie.
And that is COVID Cooties by somebody. Who wrote that? Well, I got that from the IPS, the Infinite Plane Society. We are broadcasting on his radio network, darkmatter.radio. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. This is Aberrattle. I am the Fakeologist, the original, the one, the only. And that was COVID Cooties from 8 months ago at least. That song was there early on, and the last words were, it is a smokescreen. COVID is a smokescreen for the introduction of the New World Order's one world totalitarian communist government. And that's as simple as I can boil it down to. It's a complete smokescreen. They've renamed the flu, where you have flu-like symptoms of runny nose, maybe fever, coughing, sore throat, maybe a little diarrhea. That's what we call the flu. And that's basically when our body is exhibiting illness that is caused from four different ways: injury, malnutrition, toxicity, external poisoning, and mental stress. Now, of all those four things that make us ill, which one do you think is probably the worst for everyone right now? I'll give you a hint. It's mental stress. The stress of a PSYOP and the world's most intense marketing campaign in the history of the world for a toxin that they want to inject into your bloodstream. And the only thing they say it will do is it may lessen any flu-like symptoms. And they say it's effectiveness of possibly alleviating or ameliorating or lessening flu-like symptoms is 97%. Now, that is such a subjective, unmeasurable number that it's not a lie, because it's completely and utterly, ridiculously, unscientifically unprovable. So if you want to take a experimental biological injection to potentially maybe lessen symptoms of, say, runny nose, headache, sore throat, if you would like to take that risk that it might ameliorate or lessen those symptoms, which, by the way, will not kill you 99% of the time, then you are insane. You are certifiably crazy. You would actually injure your skin, rupture your skin with a needle, and inject some toxic poison into your bloodstream. Well, I guess it would eventually... Well, yeah, actually now, because I have a lot of experience with needles, that needle could go into a blood vessel. It could. And that would expedite its passageway in and around your cardiovascular system. Now, it could go into fat, which would dissipate the effect probably. But if they hit a blood vessel, then you would get a much sharper, faster dose. And I know this because I have someone who injects himself 4 times a day. And it's a nasty, ugly, annoying business. So if you would like to go to the grocery store and get injected by the guy behind the meat counter, because that is the level of qualification most of these people have, then go for it. I don't think too many doctors will be giving this quaxine because it will be going against their Hippocratic Oath, which is basically, in a nutshell, do no harm. So they'll get their minions to do it. They'll probably even not even recommend it. They'll just say this is the procedure that some public health ghoul came up with and is enforcing and is intimidating the hell out of you to get. If you think that's a good idea, then you need your head examined. You've had a whole year to look into the germ terrain theory. A whole year. That theory has been out there forever. And now, more than ever, it's rising to the top. You can get the information so many ways to Sunday. But if you choose not to get it and you choose to take an experimental biological injection complete with all the normal things that excite or stimulate your so-called immune system, then go for it. But you are insane. And as maybe Jeff was saying, Jeff Berwick from the Dollar Vigilante, I think he said your only task is for the next 5 years, try and avoid the quaxine at all costs, even if your life becomes extremely difficult and miserable. Because when you come out on the other side of this absolute totalitarian, communist, authoritarian dictatorship imposition onto the first world, if you can get through to the other side, then there may be quite a few people left, many fewer people left on this earth, because these people are voluntarily signing up as guinea pigs to take a experimental biological injection that's not a quaxine by their definition. It's simply a chemotherapy treatment. They call it gene, RNA. I don't believe in any of those things. I just call it poison. I call it for what it is. And you can look up the ingredients. I haven't looked them up lately, but none of them are good. It's literally a witch's brew of toxic, silly chemical substances that will cause a reaction for sure. Just like if you stab yourself in the arm with a knife, you will cause a reaction. Your body will mobilize. It will do something. It will not just let you bleed out. Let's ask Agnes von der Planitz what he thinks and what he tells people who ask him, should I take this substance directly into my veins that my doctor, the guy behind the meat counter, the pharmacist has no idea what's in it. What does he say?
Well, the way I usually wake people up about that is I say, you've got about 68 inert things in it, and 5 main compounds that go along with the so-called disease. It's either grown, most often it's grown on eggs, so they'll let the eggs rot and they contaminate them with this, you know, with tissue, diseased tissue of that animal. And then, of course, the bacteria and everything is supposed to grow in the solution, and they put a tiny amount of that, I mean a fraction amount of that, into the vaccine. But what else is in there? They say inert material. What is that inert material? If it's 63 chemicals, what is it? They can't be helpful. no chemicals helpful in the body. And then the main ingredients are liquid mercury, liquid aluminum, formaldehyde, ether, and detergent. Now, if I put that into a blender with some rotten eggs and some animal, diseased animal tissue and offered it to you to drink, would you drink it?
Mm-hmm.
When I tell people that, they step back and say, oh, gosh, no, I wouldn't drink that. I'd say never let anybody stick anything into you ever.
And this is from my great vaccine clips. If you want to go directly to that page or refer this page and these audios to anyone else, go to fake11.com/clips. Now, we are broadcasting live, as I said, on the Dark Matter Radio Network. We are also on our own platforms. And those platforms include YouTube, Facebook, DLive, Twitch, and Twitter. And more importantly, most importantly, FakoTube. Now, I don't have too many people on FakoTube in the live stream. Even now, let me pitch it again. If you go to FakoTube right now, sign up, put your email in. That way you can leave comments. That way, if you subscribe to the Fakeologist channel on FakoTube, you will get email notifications when we go live or when we post a video. And you will also have the ability to chat. We do have a chat module there. So please go there and somebody go there and say hi in the chat. Because I have a feeling there's absolutely nobody in the chat right now. So please go to FakoTube.com and on the top right you will see a live flashing button or on the main screen a video that's flashing live. Just click that and watch the live stream where we just show our screen what we're talking about tonight. It's our own platform. The platform is sponsored by Bing. And Bing's sponsorship officially expires on May 1st at 00:00 hours. And if you would like to sponsor it, it's $100 US a month. And you will get your name on every email and on the top of the FakoTube screen. We'll be most grateful if you would like to support us. You can go to fakeologist.com/donate. You can pay in Bitcoin, Monero, or Pirate Coin. You can also use PayPal. You can also use Buy Me a Coffee, which just goes to PayPal. I don't think you need a PayPal account either way. And one person, Mark, bought me a coffee. He bought me 3 coffees. And his name went up in lights and shiny things at fakeologist.com/donate/donors. So thank you very much to Mark. And also, somebody else donated recently, I think, maybe. Been a bit slow. Let me refresh the page. Oh, yeah, Professor Eric. He came on. So thank you, Professor Eric. He came on through the Discord channel. He went to fake11.com/Discord, and he joined in there, and he immediately paid. If you would like to verify tonight, just go to the intake room. It's been pretty quiet there lately. I don't know why. Go there. You can also go to fake11.com/telegram. Come there. And I also follow the real Chris Sky on Telegram. Telegram is allegedly censoring him. I'm not sure what they're doing to him. They're harassing him. Somebody, you can flag anyone on any platform and that will launch an investigation, even if it's legitimate or not, but it may disable your account or slow it down. And that happened to Chris Sky. He is definitely targeted. I think he's real. Let's see what he has to say in his latest video. Open with, I don't know, here we go.
Guess what? I'm in BC, guys. I have to take a nasty detour that cost me like 3 hours. So I still have a really, really long drive. I don't even know where I am. And I don't know if I have service. I think it's just because of the Wi-Fi here. But I'll update you guys soon.
Well, today was a very interesting day in Canada. Our largest cellular network, which I believe is across Canada, went down this morning. It's been down. It was down for at least 13 hours. There were no phone calls, no internet. It was basically a blackout day for our largest cellular network. And I think the second biggest network was having trouble too. And of course, there was no explanation all day till the end of the day, or maybe halfway through the day, and they said it was due to a glitch. Yes, that famous say nothing, mean nothing word, glitch. They said it due to software upgrade. Now, if that makes any sense to you, the largest network that so many businesses rely on, and it just goes down for the day, and that included most phone calls. Most of my calls would not go through all day long. There was definitely no data, so there's no internet. And that happened all day. And it was a day when the many interprovincial borders were closed to non-essential travel. And it's not really a big scheduled protest day. And one thing that's definitely happened in the last year is people have gone to Instagram, where there are lots of young people. That's where they go, and they do live streams. Tons of live streams. And, of course, with the most, I don't know what the market share of the largest cellular data carrier is, but it's got to be 40%, maybe even 50. So a significant number of people could not communicate today. Now, is that a coincidence? Well, we don't believe in coincidence. Does it make sense that an entire full business just shuts down for the day without a backup? Even I have backups. Now, I have to admit my phone backup today didn't work because it's on the same network. So that was a mistake. It's something I'm going to try and rectify. I'll pick another network. So if my system goes down, at least I'll be able to switch over. But for the largest telecommunication company to just go down and not even communicate about it, and I coincidentally, Chris Sky is also on that network, so he couldn't interact, even though he's greatly curtailed. That to me seems rather planned, and there are many, many cyber drills that are going to occur, I believe, in July. And that means that the drills will probably become live drills, even though they'll say they're real, maybe in September. And that's when they plan on shutting down probably cellular networks, maybe some big pipes on the World Wide Web to really curtail or slow down traffic. Now, the web is designed so it can't be shut down. That's what the definition of a spider web is. But it can be slowed down if some of the big nodes on the web are shut down. So the rerouting will waste time and take more time. So the heavy-duty traffic. Now, the best thing they could do to alleviate that would be to shut down all the streaming services, because they're the worst offenders of choking up the internet. So if they took a big node out, they could easily tell Netflix to stop streaming. And maybe some of the other, maybe Disney to stop, and that would really help. But that is the plan, I believe, for the summer. And they will probably really interfere with a lot of the supply chain. And the number one supply chain that they are planning to disrupt will be the food to the cities supply chain. And that is something that I listened to on Master Fake Theater today, thanks to Exoterra Rick. And by the way, Exoterra Rick did his own show on Fakeologist Audio Chat. Rick can talk for hours and hours and hours. He's been a truther / fakeologist / realologist, he says, since the 80s. So some quick math says that's 30 years, half his life. So he knows a ton of stuff. He's forgotten more than most people know. So he's going to be coming on here once or twice a week and doing solos. Now, the only thing I don't like about that is he needs a better microphone because he's sort of choppy and low. So, Rick, if you're going to do that, try and find a microphone and so we can hear all your voice, all the tones of your voice instead of a crappy Apple set of ear pods with a mic dangling 2 feet away from your mouth. But otherwise, it's super interesting. Rick can talk for hours. He talks over people like I do. And he has a lot of stuff. Highly recommend it. Rick listens to tons of podcasts. And his recommendations are always really solid. And he recommended Alan Watt, who allegedly died in March. What a damn inconvenient time for the guy that's been talking about exactly what's happening today for the last 20 years. How coincidental or annoying is that? But that's what happened. He's allegedly gone. But the stuff Alan Watt talked about, and I know he probably got a lot of his info from somebody else, but that's where I get mine from, somewhere else. Not original, and he's really just reading the works of the elite that spelled out the plan 100 years ago. All this has been written out. All of this is what they have been planning. Now, with the technocracy on high, it's much easier to do. So that is what they are doing. They are bringing in their one world, technocratic, totalitarian, authoritarian, communist state. We are in the post-industrial revolution phase of the world, where they will dissolve borders, they will create mega regions, they will create mega cities. And Toronto turned into a mega city over 10 years ago. We're already a mega city. I'm guessing they'll just widen the borders a little bit in the next couple years. And the rest of the rural type areas of Ontario will be rolled into the mega region of the Great Lakes, which is over 70 million people. They're probably doing that first because it's the biggest. And if they can do the biggest first, then the small ones will easily fall into place under the same model. Well, that's why the numbers, the simulation is the same for the Great Lakes mega region. It's probably the hardest task because there's so many people. They're going to do it across the border. There are a lot of variables. But my theory is that's what they're doing first. They're using the simulation of a flu-like disease, which is so general and so easy to simulate because everyone can identify with a runny nose, a sore throat. Anyone can say they got it. It's just like getting an arm. Everyone has an arm. You can identify with that. Yeah, I've got an arm. I can see what you're talking about. Anyhow. So the mega region of the Great Lakes will be first. That's what they're doing. That's why the numbers are similar or the same in Michigan, upstate New York, Ontario. Most likely they're going to be similar around the lakes, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Quebec is probably part of the Great Lakes mega region, even though it's farther down the lake towards the St. Lawrence Seaway, but I'm pretty sure it will be included. I don't know if the Great America 2050 really showed the map as it is defined in America 2050. But that is the plan. And the virus is the catalyst. It is the excuse to set up all the tools of a technocracy, including the vaccine passport, which will just be the life passport. It'll have everything on it. Alan Watt in 2006 pretty much said all of this. He didn't really get a date. I think he said 2015. He just said later on. I don't think that necessarily in the show I listened to he gave a specific date, but it was coming, 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 coming. And here it is. So here is Master Fake Theater. I'll play a bit of it. It's Master Fake Theater 018. You will get it automatically if you subscribe to the Fakeologist feed on your favorite player. Mm-hmm.
this is the Fakeologist speaking. You're listening to Master Fake Theater, where I present to you some of my favorite 9/11-centric audios. I've selected these audios based on the idea that they will help further your knowledge of the hoax that 9/11 was. While I can't endorse every thought in each audio, I do think they're worth your while. Please visit Fakeologist.com to explore endless hours of 9/11 and media fakery research. Thank you for listening, and on with the Master Fake Broadcast.
I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, secret societies, how they control the course of history with Alan Watt. Get ready for this. That one is going to be one heck of a show tonight. In a moment, you will get to hear from Alan Watt, who has spent many years investigating these groups. What do they mean? What do they do? Alan Watt has always questioned standard versions of history, delved into ancient civilizations and the occult groups which manage them. Alan has come forward to share his knowledge, beginning with the Sweet Liberty radio program on International Shortwave. Now, this shortwave broadcast ended late in 2005. He continues on the First Amendment Internet Radio every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, having a deep understanding of mass mind control being used on the general public. His original intention was to establish contact with various individuals following the broadcast by a one-on-one telephone conversation containing a technique to bring the person up into awareness. Many hundreds of hours have been spent in this manner, teaching people in various countries, some of whom have used the information and published much of it with rather flamboyant spins. First-time guest on Coast to Coast AM, Alan Watt. Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm fine, and it's a pleasure to be on.
Good. Likewise. Tell me a little bit about this. I guess we can't call it an experiment, but tell me how this worked, this one-on-one telephone conversation technique.
Well, I realized by listening to many radio shows that people were stuck in different levels of understanding of awareness into what was happening in their own lives and the life around them, and were totally oblivious, really, of the major plans underfoot to completely alter their way of living. And in fact, a structure was being put into place to bring out an entirely new way of living. That really is the agenda. And I thought I should get involved. And I looked around at all the airwaves, and I tuned into shortwave, which has a good coverage. Sometimes it's international. And got in touch with Jackie Petru on the Sweet Liberty broadcast, and eventually came on as a guest initially to fill in on ancient history, the secret societies, which are recorded in history. It's not so much a conspiracy when you realize they're actually authentically recorded. And the odd thing is their agenda from the most ancient times right up to the present has never altered. We've lived through part of it ourselves. We're living through the final part of the end of this phase before the beginning of the next. It's a never-ending story.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It has not altered over all these hundreds, if not thousands, of years. They have directed their intent. And I guess they've just had it carried on by their offspring. How did it work? How did it carry through?
We can find, really, ancient Egypt kept such a massive documentation on the techniques of controlling the people. Priesthoods actually specialized in creation of religions for the lower classes, you might say. And the pharaoh, of course, is recorded, he was taught these techniques from a child. And the priests in those days were truly specialists in different areas. Even going as far back as Sumer, we can see that the priests there not only controlled different areas of religion and types of religion, one for the elite and a separate one for the public. And they also controlled all the legalities. They were lawyers, lawyer priests who dealt with real estate and all finances. Imports and exports from the country, with trade going all the way to India, 5,000 BC. So these priests were very specialized. And
anyway, really great show. The people at Cutting Through the Matrix, here's a link to it right here. I'll bring it up. They condensed, apparently, this 2.5-hour show into one hour and 15 minute show. And really well done. And I boiled it into, put it on my site in case it goes away. I also just uploaded it now to Fakotube.com because I know more than double the people that come to my website go to Fakotube so that you can enjoy it on Fakotube. But I put the links here. This is Cutting Through the Matrix page, and we'll just look at the main page here. And one thing about their page, it's hard to read. It's really hard to read on a phone. But there you go. You can try and find the latest stuff in this colorful, really hard to read site. And actually, if you're looking at the site now, there's no real indication that he's dead. Strangely enough, I'm looking at the page now. Where does it say he's not here anymore? Does it even speak of him in the past tense? I can't even tell. Oh, here we go. So they're still taking orders and money. And we don't know who's running the site. But you can send him an email. Interesting. All emails are read, but not all are answered due to time constraints. But I was even thinking of listening to that entire audio and pausing and commenting on it. I might still do that because it's so good. So much stuff in there. To me, it's just totally fascinating. And this is from 2006, and he's really just reading books and information from think tanks and NGOs and going all the way back to H.G. Wells, founder of the Fabian Society, a propagandist for World War One. This is 100 years old, this plan, and it's just amazing that we're here today. Really in the middle of it. It's just quite the storm. While everyone's busy debating about vaccines and viruses, they are implementing a plan. It's just, we are in the fog of the COVID's war. It's such a powerful distraction. And they've always thought of using a plague, which this is a plague, by the results, the actions of what people are doing. They're treating it as a plague. Of course, it's only a plague in the mind. There's no proof, but it doesn't matter. They don't need any proof. They're just simply running it as a plague that will never, ever, ever end until people wake up to understand what's going on. That a one-world totalitarian government is coming in. So it's pretty interesting. I highly recommend that audio. There's another audio that Rick recommended. I'm going to post that later. It's not as good as the first one, but it's still good. It's still worthy of a Master Fake Theater, according to Rick and according to me, so I'll post that later. They say very similar things, but the first one is just bang on, and that's why I put it first. All right, let's go through the blog a little bit. Why are anti-lockdown fines $880 in Ontario? It's a good question. How do they come up with these crazy numbers? I don't know if they're the same in other provinces. I haven't looked into it. But when I hear 8 and 88, I think of China because I've heard enough people talk about numerology. And it's right there on Wikipedia. And it's clear that the number 88 is very, very important in Chinese culture. Therefore, to me, it's just a tribute to China. That's all it is. That's why it's 88. It's in your face. The lockdown notion came from China, or that's where they implemented it. All these things come from England, Britain. They're the ones that know how to run a world, a society, so... That's where it really came from, but it's really been implemented in China. And therefore, that is why I think they picked this very occult, very favorited by Chinese number. Pretty simple. Here's a post from a couple days ago. I got this from Julian Sepsis. He sent me this on the Discord. Don't forget, there's a million ways to contact me. You can contact me through the Discord. You can email me. We can go to fakeologist.com/contact. Millions of ways to get me info. I rely on people to email me and pass info to me because you can't look everywhere all the time, especially if your network's down all day. It looks like they're building a very large mobile camp in Hamilton, west of Toronto. And I think it's between the jail and the hospital. I don't know exactly where it is. But he says it looks like a MASH unit being set up. And I'd agree with him. Looks like a MASH unit. So, is it just theater? Security theater? I think those are generators. Looks like generators, and then you got these field hospital tent-like structures. So just surmising, is it just all theater? Because they did it at Sunnybrook 2, which is a huge hospital trauma center in Toronto. And the question is, what are they for? I think it's more security or theater, just to give people the impression that there's going to be a huge wave of ill people. Or there really will be ill people from the quack scene getting checked in. I still think the hospitals are mainly empty for all the reasons I've described before. Yeah, that's Greco. I think those look like generators to me. Lots of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Looks like lots. God, they must cost $1,000 a day. The money the government's blowing on this theatrical production is just—it's just mind-blowing. The money. Yeah, that looks like a hospital to me, and a weak fence put around it. Yeah, this is all on Slave Book. Interesting. Any comments on this? COVID beds. You know, there's still people that believe in all this. So, yeah, they're at Sunnybrook, which Sunnybrook isn't a military hospital anymore, but it was WW2, where all the veterans came back and convalesced. Just looking at the comments to see how many people believe it. Looks like most people here are, looks like they're pretty much on board. That, actually not too many comments, only 28 comments. I guess this guy's not very popular. Okay, well that's on Facebook. That's what they're doing here. We are in the most locked down part of North America, Ontario. We're proud of it. Here's my post on the fact that our network was down. Here's Rick as Alan Watt. I'll play a bit of that.
You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
This is the Terry talking to you on Psychologist Reading, psychologist.com. I'm here in my small cottage made out of cardboard from before anything else, where I live with my three cats, and they're all called Hamish. A lot of people said to me, why are your cats all called Hamish? And I have to tell tell them that's all I could afford at the time. But they're all happy. They don't eat much, so neither do I. So if you've got any money, please send it on to fakeologist.com, and hopefully I will send a little bit my way so I can possibly feed one of my cats, maybe three of them. But Hamish 1, 2, and 3.
So that's Rick doing Alan Watt. Actually, he's really good at impressions. Highly recommended. I talked about North Korea being a Potemkin village, and I got a couple more comments. Thank you for anyone who comments. If you want to comment on my blog, it's not that easy. You have to send me an email, and I have to manually create a password or a login for you. You use their password that it sends. I can't see your password. Some very good comments. So to see the comments, you go to the top of the post and click on replies. Three replies. Not that obvious, actually. Might have to change my theme eventually, make it more useful. Peter Rue, who's on the chat tonight, shout out. He linked to Jay Dyer's YouTube that he created, a video he created few years ago.
Jay Dyer from Jay's Analysis here. Look, I want to talk to you about the ridiculousness of the news story.
This is the only problem I have. Why does it say satire? Jay Dyer satire. Is he trying to make fun of the idea, or does he believe it? He's a very confusing person.
Right now, surrounding North Korea. North Korea is not going to nuke or attack the U.S. This is the most ridiculous, silly thing ever.
Okay, here's
his military capabilities, right? And then you look through this stuff. I should just comment on this. So let's just actually go to the images themselves, and we'll take a look, and you'll see what I mean. Because these are hilarious.
Now, first of all, some Marine Corps dude came on my Facebook page and was trying to argue with me that this is the latest next generation technology. I'm not joking. That's what this guy tried to argue with me. So here is Hipster Un just chilling, having him a fag, and watching what looks to be something out of War Games from, you know, 1985 with Matthew Broderick, where you've got these. I mean, look at this over here. This is like something literally. This is like a big movie theater that they hollowed out, and then they put this, whatever this is, like, you know, from a fucking floppy disk or something, right up here on this screen to make it look like, oh, he's plotting and planning, you know, how all these satellites are gonna nuke all these countries. It is worse than a B movie. This is like Ed Wood is, you know, security advisor to Kim Jong or something. Now I bring this in because it further backs up the thesis that this has been going on for a long time. So here's Rumsfeld's Highlights magazine imagery here that if you really look at this, and what's funny is that nobody really looked at this. They just kind of saw him hold this up on Meet the Press. And then it was probably ran in some magazines like
that. That was an amazing cutaway graphical diagram of the supposed cave that Osama bin Laden was in to, and he had many of these, to launch the all-out attack on the United States. It's just ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. It's just great fantasy. The guy with probably a Russian automatic weapon, they were able to make this incredibly complex excavation into the side of a mountain. Give me a break. But it's just great theater. So Jay brings that up.
Mad Magazine or something. No, but I'm joking, but probably ran in all the big publications, you know. And you look at this, and this is literally something a 13-year-old would draw. I mean, when I was 13, I would draw these kinds of bases, you know, inside of mountains because I watched James Bond movies or something. And, you know, here's this dude out here. It's like looking for the secret entrance. And here's little guys on horses. And these are funny. You should go read this. Because some of these are actually comedic. They're like a joke. They're like, you know, little secret doors and entrances. So these guys are riding horses. And here's a car. Right, stuck in the middle of this, right? So this is supposed to be terrain that you can't rough it, right? You're like, supposedly no one can rough this terrain except the local Afghanis. and the American troops. Remember the U.S. troops.
Anyway, that was a really good explanation of what I was trying to repeat. And that is Jay Dyer. Master of None says she was watching a weird documentary about an American reporter going there and filming his experience, eating very little food all alone in a fancy hotel dining room, seeing very few people, all of whom behave perfectly, seeing the sights. And who knows if that was really him in North Korea? We don't even know. There's no way to prove it. But I still think there are, obviously, some cities that maybe have a few people that are put there as representative of an entire country that's population is completely static. It's very, very suspicious, and it's like so many other fabricated boogeymen to keep the people of the West in line that I don't think anything is happening there, and I think it's mostly empty. It is probably just a Chinese protectorate, part of China anyhow, and it's probably mostly rewilded area as part of the United Nations plan to rewild the entire world, except for a few mega regions and a few mega cities. Make sure you leave a comment if interested. Okay, let's go back to the main blog here. Yeah, so I'm going back over yesterday's stuff. I wanted to point out Susan Stanfield, play a little bit of her. She's a Canadian activist. Very interesting story. Pretty cute for someone our age, that's for sure.
Hey everyone, welcome to my YouTube channel, Daily Inspo Vid. I will be putting the vids elsewhere. I'm going to start live streaming, I think, on Odyssey. I have an Odyssey account. Just doing a whole bunch of new, different things for the next few months. Taking a break from being in the city. I left Vancouver.
Too much background.
So you could buy just that, and I can ship it to you, or you can force us into lockdown. So I came across this piece this morning that was connected to an order in council. Now, I'll back up. It connected to the emergency orders, and then it all made sense. It all made sense, and it made very clear to me what exactly we need to do to pursue justice in British Columbia. So I have little kids who were in the public school system, and 2 years ago, 3 years ago now, 2018, I was given a document that could theoretically have thrown me into jail for 6 months or fined me $250,000. That would have been the offense if I didn't do what the government told me to do under this emergency order. It was an order in council, 376. They all have numbers, and it was issued in 2018. Okay, now this was an order in council signed by Janet Austin, who is the lieutenant governor, and I believe she has to sign everyone. Okay, so that's where the British thing comes in. The monarch, the representative of the crown, has to sign the order in council. And this is why we have to get rid of these and why we have to get rid of the lieutenant governor, right? Get rid of them all, and we have to get rid of the governor general too. Because it is
We don't have a governor general right now. They kicked her out.
Monarchy to rule over and not govern, but to rule over and to suspend democracy. And they're just figureheads. And it's like I said, it's a huge waste of money. And I don't think anybody wants it anymore, right? So I came across this thing. Someone handed it to me basically on the school ground, and they were like, are you aware that you could be imprisoned if you don't hand over the government your children's vaccine records? And I started laughing because, of course, they're empty. there are no records of the vaccines. And I started a journey to understand who would be motivated to threaten and jail mothers, right? Who would be motivated? Who would gain from that? And likely who would financially gain from that? And I started digging. And I quite quickly got traced back to, you know, the Ministry of Health. Adrian Dix signed this thing. And the Minister of Agriculture signed it. And I thought, well, that's fraudulent. The Minister of Agriculture is signing orders to do with vaccines. Like, none of this made sense. So I was like, okay. And we all kind of researched it and studied it for a while. And the strangest thing about this legislation was that the offenses didn't actually start until September of 2020. And that was, you know, 2.5 years after we had seen this document. And I thought, why are the offenses going into place 2.5 years after this, an emergency order the offenses usually start right away, right? Because it's an emergency. And the whole thing was fraudulent. None of the MLAs in BC wanted to touch it. And, of course, none of them had the guts to say anything about it either, right? Because they're all afraid to, like, lose their pensions. So we kind of toyed around with this thing for a couple of years, and it was just like, whatever. There's so many other nightmares now to deal with under COVID fraud. And so I'm thinking about, okay, there's the emergency orders are in place in BC. We have this dangerous injection that's being circulated. Why are we still under economic, you know, emergency orders when most people are disobeying it? And this ejects, and what's the piece? How did these things fit together? I found out, I guess, over the past month that the vaccine is only the injection, the COVID injection in Canada, has never been approved by Health Canada. There is no monograph, and a monograph is produced after years of trials, and then the monograph allows the product to go into the consumer market. And I started studying all of that after I found the first order in council, right, that was targeting me. And I was just like, God, this is so dirty. It's so bad. And this is what killed my mother. It's the same injurious policy, the medical industry colluding with shareholders to essentially lie to the public. And that's how my mother died, because she was lied to by Big Tobacco in collusion with the Canadian medical industry, who used doctors to sell cigarettes, right, back in the 50s or 60s when she started smoking. And I was like, this is exactly the same thing. It's exactly the same fraud, and it's targeting women and mothers. And I decided to step into to speak my truth and to share this information with the public a couple of years ago. And mostly people have been very open to it. Some people call me an anti-vaxxer, whatever. it's like anti-masking. No, I'm pro-face, right? So I don't pay attention to that really. So over the past month, I was like, okay, the fact that this injection has only been authorized, it's only been authorized for emergency use. It hasn't been approved by Health Canada to go into the regular supply chain. It's been authorized for emergency use, and that's why the military is distributing this thing.
I don't think most people know any of these ins and outs of how this is actually being done under their laws. And she's just explaining basically the end run that they've used to get this into the arms of people. Most people don't care that it's not a vaccine. Most people don't care that it is not, has not been approved as other past quaxines have been approved. Most people don't care that we are living, all this is enabled by an emergency order that has suspended all normal constitutional laws. Like, most people don't know any of this. They just want the promise of going back to normal, the old way, which is not happening, by taking this shot in the arm. They think this is going to end it, and it's not, because this is not the plan. The plan is not to prevent you from getting COVID. The plan is to put you in a completely different system. That's the end game. But she is basically laying out her research into the mechanics that they do to get this happening under their legal framework. And that's what's really interesting. Now, you could never give this as a speech in front of a crowd, because everyone would fall asleep, or they would just walk away. So for people like me that like to do research, I like to know how the trick is done to an extent. And this woman has really gone into it as an activist. And she really understands the end game. I don't know if she's familiar as we are with all the stuff that we have on Fakeologist. We're way up on the game. We understand the plan is 100 years old. We understand the planning. We understand all that. So she's just a health advocate researcher that has stumbled into this because it's killed her business like everyone else. So that's why I say all these people that have been shut down and sitting at home, you've got all the time in the world to figure this out. And I think it's your obligation to share this information, share this website, share this woman's videos, share FakeoTube. If you do nothing else, share the information. Let others figure it out. I put the same video on FakeoTube, another video rather. She went into, this is funny, she went into City Hall or sorry, she went into the law courts to find out the progress of some lawsuit against the public health official. She went in without a mask, so she was detained. She was fake arrested by the security officers of the court, which are actually British Columbia sheriffs. Sheriff are the, I guess it's a quasi police force. They might be actual constables or peace officers, rather. They might even carry a gun. But she was arrested on the main floor and taken into the basement and humiliated in a cell. She had to take her bra off because there's metal in it. And it was really a humiliation exercise where they take most of your clothes off, you throw you into a cell. And she describes all that. It's actually unpleasant to listen to. And then a few hours later, she was basically told to leave, and she went right out the back door and ended up in an alley or laneway behind the courthouse. And then she literally put a mask on and walked right back in to get what she wanted. Now, it sounds crazy, but she wasted most of her day doing that because they would not let her, they would not obey the exemption of the mask exemption. And that's the problem. If you are going to stand up to tyranny, which she should be praised for, but this is what's going to happen to you. Now, if you have a few hours and you don't mind being stripped down and held in solitary confinement for a while, then you can do it. But you got to have a lot of spare time and a lot of resolve to do that. A lot. There's a little bit of fit footage from Chris Sky. Posted his thing on here. One on YouTube. I put FakoTube and YouTube videos side by side, and it gives me an indication as I go back in the blog later to see which videos disappear. So obviously if you can see it on the blog, then it's still on YouTube. And what else we got here? Well, this is funny. I got this from voxday.blogspot.com. If you want to go look up the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, if you go on canada.ca, the government's official site, you won't find it. It's not there. Now, it is on the site, but it's not where they say it's supposed to be. You can do a search and you'll find it, but on the actual links, you won't find it. Intentional? Well, maybe. Probably. Okay, this is really important. And I'm going to end the show tonight on this point. In Ontario, we have what's called the Ontario COVID-19 Science Advisory Table. These are the bureau rats that are advising the premier, the governor, what to do. Now, most people don't know their names, but almost all of them are trained or associated or paid by the Paul Dalla Lana School of Public Health, which is the University of Toronto. These are the people that are making up the ridiculous, non-scientific, but based on a model of a contagious virus, they're the ones that are making up all the crazy rules. Now, most of them are accepted by the premier because he's held hostage by the fact that he's just a guy running his dad's businessman. And he knows that the people believe in the men in the white lab coats more than they believe him because they know his background. So he is between a rock and a hard place. But these are the names people need to know. If you go to, and they're hard to find. They're not that easy to find. You have to do a little bit of legwork. So these are the people. And look, you go into the main webpage, and they're hidden behind drop-down menus. So you click here. These are the people. Adele Stein Brown. Strange name. Strange-looking guy. Della Lana School of Public Health. This school is probably modeled after the Johns Hopkins or Bloomberg School of Public Health. This is where they get their quasi health information. Here's another guy, Brian Schwartz, Department of Family and Community Medicine in Della Lana. Peter Juni, Medicine and Epidemiology, Institute of Health Policy. These are the health. These are all the people in the doctatorship. These are the ones that are telling the premier what to do. There's a lot of them. Now, I haven't looked up all of them on Twitter, but all of them are pretty active giving their crazy ideas, including shutting the economy down for a year, everything. This guy, David Fistman, he is a real kook, saying he hasn't hugged his children in over a year in his own house. As if we're supposed to believe. But this is the Hall of Fame, guys. Look up every one of these people. If you look up how much they're making, they're all in the $500,000 club. All of them. They get paid many ways. Many ways. You got to look these people up. There's a lot of them. They're all making huge bucks, and they're all dumping their public health mythology into the public arena, and people are there's look how many there are. It's huge. This is the so-called table, and this is just the leadership. What is this? This is just the okay. This is the science table members. So what else we got? So if we collapse this drop down menu, what else we got? We got so many components to this. This is massive. Let me just read this here. The Science Table is an independent group hosted by the Della Lana School of Public Health. There is no compensation for serving on the Science Table. However, the Scientific Director and Secretariat are funded by the Della Lana School of Public Health and Public Health Ontario. Tons of money here. So they're not getting paid directly. But look at this. The behavioral science group. These are the people that are basically marketing the quaxine using all the techniques of marketing and coercion and convincing. I don't know if there's a duplicate. These look like similar people, but what else we got? Congregate care setting working group. More people. Lots of people. Yeah, look at this person. Bizarre. I'm not going to read more on any of their profiles, but look at this. Drugs and biologics, clinical practice guidelines. Look at this. Now, how do you think a premier who runs a manufacturing company, how can he argue with any of these people? He is hostage to this medical politburo. And they'll dazzle him with statistics, and they'll dazzle him with graphs. He must just say, "For just enough. What do you want me to do next?" That's really what he's got to say. Look at all these people. There's a lot of people. A lot of people. Mental health working group. But look up some of these people on Twitter, because most of them are popping off on Twitter. So there's a lot of duplicates here where they're on different committees, but it looks like there might be 100 different people. So this is informing. Yeah, right. These guys are literally the doctatorship. These are the names everyone should know in Ontario. And there's a couple that aren't on here, the actual public health officials, that you should know all of those people too. Like David Williams. And look at the corporate people. Mostly public health. I don't see any... I don't know who Cochrane Canada is. I don't know a lot of these, but mostly these are public. It's just interesting. This is where you should put your effort into looking at what these people are saying, because they are telling the premier what to do. He has no idea what to do. He's just there to take the heat. And the other thing that is the purpose of Thug 4 just taking a beating every single day is because they want you to lose confidence in your public officials, your democratically elected people. They're supposed to be us. We don't elect professionals. We elect people that look and talk like us to lead us as a collective to wherever we think is best. That's not what is planned for the future. The future will be unelected, appointed, inbred technocrats. Those are the people that will run your mega region. So they're conditioning you to hate, detest your publicly elected leaders, because I'm afraid they'll be the last publicly elected leaders you'll ever have. You'll have people that look and sound like these guys, because they know how to run a society. That's what it's all about. So in every jurisdiction, they want you, and they will make these publicly elected people look bad. And it's going to happen in Texas and Florida. They're just behind. Not every region is being treated the same way at the same time. That's just not realistic. They're concentrating on our region first. So my prediction is Thug Ford may be the last premier of Ontario that's elected by the people. It's very possible. So be careful what you wish for. I saw trending today on Twitter when I could get a signal, usually at a coffee shop, that there are trends being most likely simulated and started to fire Doug Ford, our premier. But what's the alternative? The other leaders of the other parties are saying almost exactly the same thing. And the same thing will be happening to them too. They will be pilloried because the simulation, the numbers, the cases, which are, they've switched the language. Now they're calling the cases infections, which is a lie. They're just ramping up the rhetoric to make it seem worse. They can simulate the numbers any way. So if the guy goes one way, they'll make the numbers go the other way. They'll make him look bad. And that happened immediately this weekend, where they were telling the police that they wanted to have given them powers to pull people over and ask where you're going. Well, there's a lot of people going a lot of places, so you need a lot of cops. You'd have to literally close the roads and funnel them into a single line, and nobody would get anywhere. But the police said, no, they're not going to do that. So then now I heard they reversed the police powers, which they can't really do. They can't really give the police any extra powers to do any of that. They said they created a law to do that. Well, everything is just an order and council. They're dictatorship. They are decrees similar to what a king does. So no, they're not laws. They are they're diktats. But the police said no, and good on the police, to their credit. They said, we're not doing that. Forget it. No. They don't even have enough of them anyway to do any of that. But the answer was no. And there was also one other thing where they said children couldn't go to the park to exercise. So they reversed that. And a lot of these crazy so-called COVID-19 advisory table members, science table, they said, oh, we told him not to do that. We told him it's better to be outside. The risk of getting COVID outside didn't outweigh the risks, the benefits of being outside breathing fresh air now that's getting warm here. So it makes no sense that the premier would have done that without them saying that. So I don't even believe that these COVID-19 advisors said that. So they're just creating constant conflict, and trying to portray the leader who's really, his head must be spinning and exploding. I'd quit if I was him. I would either tell the truth of what I thought was happening or I'd just quit. I don't know why he is sandwiching himself. He must be promised great reward, great treasure at the end of this. I don't know why he would subject himself to it, honestly. So if he cracks, and maybe he will crack, and then they'll bring in the dictatorship, maybe that's the plan. But it just really seems crazy to put yourself in that situation if you're a real person. Unless he's being really blackmailed. Now, even if they told a real story about how he got there, I don't think people would care. And if you want to look up the Rob Ford death hoax, just search my site. There's a lot on there. But people are just consumed about getting the quack scene. And that's all they care about. They don't care about any of these people or anything that's happening. Overall, they just want it to be over. But the sad part is, if they were told or woke up and found out it's not going to be over, would they still go along with it? I'm not even sure. All right, that's enough. I really wanted to bring this to your attention. Everyone passed this around, the COVID-19 advisory panel. These are the Politburo members of the dictatorship. They're all trained probably by Johns Hopkins, which is the epicenter. It's the control center. It's the command center of this worldwide medical military coup. And it's just going to keep going on as long as people buy into the idea that viruses are contagious and they're deadly. It's complete opposite. They're not contagious and they are actually there to help. Everything is completely inverted 180 degrees. And as long as people don't look into it, for instance, go to fake11.com/ill, you will find a book. You will find many books on the online PDF bookstore. Read all of them. Read one of them. Virus Mania is here. Contagion Myth. The Invisible Rainbow. Read this stuff. Learn. Read this book. What Really Makes You Ill. Why Everything You Thought You Knew About Disease Is Wrong. Read it. If you still think that viruses are contagious and deadly and are going to wipe out the earth, then there's nothing I can do for you. Go listen to another program. Go line up and get your quack scene. But I've given you all the material. I'll keep giving you the material. You can keep looking at it. All right. Anything in the chat? I had a few people tonight. We had most people just love YouTube. Most people are on YouTube. Crazy. Well, I guess it's convenient, and I guess people get the notification. So go to fake11.com/YouTube1, fake11.com/YouTube2. Go there, and those are my YouTube channels. People like it, I guess. I'm signed up for YouTube Mobile, so I can stream in the background. But other than that, fakeotube.com, go sign up, go log in, make your comments, make your chats. We do this show Sunday to Thursday at 8:30 in the p.m. Usually go about an hour. I have a lot more to say before I come on the show while I'm thinking about it. And I often lose track. I try and keep good enough notes to remember what I wanted to say. And a lot of the times I have stuff to say while I'm listening to other audios. That's why I was thinking of playing the Alan Watt audio. You should really listen to that. This, when he talks, everything he's talking about is happening now in a very rapid succession. If you want to know the end game, if you want to know what's going on, if you want to know how the movie ends, get over there and listen. Fakeologist.com/blog. I don't play any intro music because it just is a waste of time. And I usually don't play outro music either. We'll sign off tonight on April the 19th, 2021. It's 9:45 in the p.m. Eastern Standard or Daylight Savings Time. I'm the Fakeologist, and I'll be back tomorrow chatting about COVID Nation one more time. Take care and good night.